but not sure how much longer. This song is not only my favorite, but it's also one of hers. So last time I sang this, I forgot to do one thing. You might turn your hearing aids down. Some people say I don't need this. I don't know. By a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me. Me, oh, he touched me. Oh, the joy, that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. I met the blessed Savior. Since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease.
Thank you so very much, Brother West. I appreciate that. Well, once again, good morning and welcome to the service. We are certainly glad that you are here today. Would you please stand with me? If you would, out of respect for God's word, I invite you to turn in your scripture, if you would please, to 2 Kings chapter number 4, and we're going to read verse number 8 together. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 8. If you don't have a copy of God's word, there should be one available close to you in the seat of the chair under the just in front of you. Go ahead and use that this morning. We just ask that you return it to its rightful place so somebody can use it next time. Once again, we're glad that you're here. The title of my message this morning, The Great Woman. 2 Kings chapter number 4, and let's read verse number 8. Follow along, if you would, please, as I read from the scripture. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Would you pray with me, if you would, please? Heavenly Father, as we consider your word this morning, we pray, dear God, that the Holy Spirit would speak through me. Pray, Lord, that you would set me aside, that you would speak. Lord, that you would have your will and way in this message today. May we learn from the scripture the things that are important, the things that you were teaching us today. Lord, that we might be the servants that you were calling us to be. Lord, we ask, dear Father, that you would bless, if there's anybody here this morning who does not know you as Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart today, that they would come to know Jesus Christ in his fullness. And Lord, also that believers today would be challenged afresh and anew to live for you, to serve you. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you very much. And be seated, if you would please. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. Shunem was located 7 miles east of Megiddo. Now, for those of you who have never been to Israel, that is the area overlooking what is called the Megiddo Valley, which is the future site of the greatest battle in the history of mankind, the Valley of Armageddon. And so it is here, this tiny little place where this woman lives. And this woman in the passage is called a great woman. Understand this morning that she is called this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So God himself is calling this woman a great woman. Now, the meaning of the word great can be translated to mean prominent or well-to-do. And certainly that probably fits this particular woman. She is married to a man of wealth. And so that is one of the meanings of the word great. However, there is meaning and purpose beyond that, and that is what we will focus upon this morning. Because the reality is, if we're going to wait until we're great in wealth to serve the Lord, then we'll probably be waiting in vain. And the reality is that we can serve God this morning no matter what our station in life is, no matter where we are, no matter what our economic background is, we can all serve the Lord. And it is from these areas that I want to focus on this morning. And so the Bible calls her a great woman. The Bible also speaks of other great women, women who were great in wealth, but at the same time, not so great otherwise. Let me give you a couple of quick examples. First of all, we would think of the Potiphar's wife. Had wealth, but yet she was a wicked woman. Jezebel had wealth, but yet she was a wicked, wicked woman. Lot's wife had wealth, but yet she was a wicked woman, and she was turned to a pillar of salt because she did not demonstrate faith in her life and her ability to believe God. And so we see that it is not only the criteria of wealth that will determine our greatness, but rather many other things. And so we have to understand that there are individuals that are great for other reasons, and that is our focus of our attention this morning as we think about this Mother's Day sermon for May the 13th, 2018, this morning. The first thing that I want you to see from the scripture, and we have to understand that it's the Word of God that is important. It is not opinion that is important this morning, but rather it is the Word of God. And so as we think about these this morning, the first thing that we want to see from the scripture, from this story, is that this woman was great because of her generosity. She was great because of her generosity. Now you can say, well, if I was wealthy, I could certainly be generous. Well, the reality is that no matter what our position in life, we can be generous. Let me give you just a few quick examples. Think of the widow's mite. She was not a wealthy woman, but yet she was recognized by Jesus because of her sacrifice to the Lord. Think about the lady who brought the precious ointment, the alabaster box, and broke it and anointed the head of Jesus. These were women that were not necessarily individuals of wealth, but rather women of great sacrifice because they loved the Lord, because they cared for Him. And I believe it is from this area that we can approach this message this morning. She was great because of her generosity. Now notice, if you would see there in verse number 8, it says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread." In other words, she convinced him. She was not going to let him go away without being a blessing to him. Ladies, do you think maybe you could do something just as simple as preparing a meal for the Word of God? The pastor's wife is going away this next week. He's going to be all by himself. Do you really want him to starve to death while she is out of town? You see the practicality of this message this morning. Oh, we need to have a light side sometimes, I believe. We need to have fun as we look to the Scripture. But the reality is that's something that most of us in this room could do. She had generosity towards the man of God. She constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Now, if there's one thing a preacher can do is he has a good memory about who feeds him, and he's going to show up again. Because the reality is he went through this area from time to time, and he would stop by this lady's house because of her generosity, because she would provide a meal for him. But let me help you to understand that it went even beyond that. Look at verse number 10. She's speaking to her husband, and she said, "Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set up for him a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither." So here we see an even greater example of her generosity towards the man of God. She sees a need, and she fills it. She goes to her husband, and notice she doesn't demand. She doesn't say, "If you don't do this, honey, you're going to live to regret it." That's not her attitude at all. She is a woman of generosity, but she at the same time is a woman of respect for her own husband. Notice what she said. Let us. Let that thought sink in. This woman is just not an idea person. This woman is a person who comes to her husband with an idea, with a thought, and she's all in. Let us. Do you understand, ladies, that what she's saying here is that my workload is just about to increase? My personal workload is about to increase. Now, if we're going to add a chamber, and we've done that through the years here in this ministry, we have two missionary apartments, those things don't just happen overnight. Those things take a lot of effort. Those things take a lot of cost. Those things take a lot of time. And so as she is addressing her husband, she says, "Let us." Let me put it this way. The people who put together this chamber are going to have to eat. Now, do you suppose this Shulamite woman is going to pick up her phone and she's going to call the local Domino's and ask for pizza delivery? No, that's not the way that it was. The reality is, who's going to carry the load of feeding these individuals who are going to build this extra space, this chamber that is going to be attached to their home, that is going to be a place where the man of God can come and be refreshed, can have rest and relaxation? Who is going to do that? I believe that responsibility is going to fall upon her. So remember, she's not just an idea person, but she's all in. She says, let us make a chamber. I love people with ideas. I love people with ideas who stick around to do the work a whole lot more. Because there can be a difference sometimes. It's not just an idea that will work, but it's effort coming together and doing the things that are called to do to make things to happen. There are no magic wands in ministry. It's called work. We all must be in. We must be all hands on deck. We must carry the load. We must understand that if we are going to be generous, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us shekels. It's going to cost us time. It's going to cost us effort. It's going to cost us elbow grease. And so we need to understand that. We need to realize that today. Now, I know we reach a point in time in our life where we're beyond the ability to be able to do that. I get that. I understand that. But there are some simple things sometimes that we can do that we can overlook. Maybe providing a meal. Maybe, you know, helping somebody. I think of my ministry over the years, down through the years, and I realized that the greatest sacrifice that I've ever seen has been amongst people who do not necessarily have the wealth to do the things that they are doing. I think of widowed ladies through the years. I love youth. I thank God for youth. But the reality is I've never had a young person slip me a $20 bill because I was going somewhere, because I had something, a job that I had to do. I had to perform ministry. I had to go here, had to go there, had to do that. It's always been the grandmas. It's always been the widows who said, here, I want to help you in ministry. It's been those individuals most of the time who didn't have it, but they sacrificed because they loved the man of God, because they were willing to be a part of what was going on in the ministry. There are so many practical things that can be done. There are so many things that we can do as believers to show that we're all in. We all have skin in the game. I believe that that's important. I remember my son, our oldest son, is sitting here this morning, he and his wife, here to honor his mother on Mother's Day, and we're grateful for that. We're glad that they were here, that they're here today. I remember back many years ago when Jeremy went to Hiles Anderson College. He had just graduated from high school. He was not quite 18 when he graduated. He was getting ready to go to the fall semester. And there was such an outpouring of interest from mostly a lot of it from widow ladies. Ladies who necessarily didn't have a lot, but they wanted to make sure that Jeremy was taken care of. And so they literally filled a suitcase full of stuff that he was going to need while he was there. Toothpaste and, you know, personal hygiene products and, you know, maybe a candy bar here and you know, a $20 bill here and a $20 bill there. And in fact, I was so overwhelmed by what they had done for our son that I told the church, if he doesn't want to go, I'm going. Because the son, that didn't happen when I went to Bible college. I went on my own. But the reality is that sometimes people are willing to make a sacrifice. I believe that this woman was such a woman of sacrifice. She was a woman of great generosity. She wanted to see something happen for the man of God, and we see it here. So she was very generous. She didn't have to do this. She wanted to do it. And I believe that there are practical things as children of God that we can do to help in ministry. And maybe sometimes we just need to ask God, what is it that you want me to do? And that leads me to my second point of my message this morning. Not only was this woman great in her generosity, but she was also great in her spirituality. She was great in her spirituality. What do I mean by that? I mean that she had spiritual discernment. Look with me, if you would please, in verse number 9 of the text. Look what it says here in verse number 9. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by continually. This woman had spiritual discernment. And so I believe that not only was she called great by God because of her generosity, but I believe also she was called great because of her spiritual discernment. She saw things that perhaps got by other people. She had spiritual perception. as I think about that this morning, I think about women in my past or even present who have spiritual discernment. My mother was one of those individuals. She had spiritual discernment. She had a way of looking at things and realizing that, you know, that maybe something needed to be done, and it might just be a $20 bill, or, you know, it might be something that she saw that she tried to fill a need. And ladies, if there's anything that is needed today in ministry, it is women of God, mothers of God, who have spiritual discernment. Notice again, she says here, and now, and said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God. Now, if you were in Sunday school this morning, you know that Brother Kennedy was very nice to the ladies. The men, not so much. I cannot believe some of the phrases and things that he said about men. But looking at this verse, I guess you could understand where he's coming from. Because it is not the man who has the spiritual discernment, because he's busy. He's got to, you know, he's got to buy shoes for his wife, and, you know, he's got business to run, and he's got things that he's got to do. He's got to keep her happy. And so, you know, maybe the spiritual discernment is not quite there, but she has it. And she comes to him, and she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by continually. She had spiritual discernment. My wife is another one of those individuals who has spiritual discernment. And I thank God for that. She sees sometimes things that I don't see. And sometimes she comes to me and say, honey, I think you need to see this. That's a good wife. You know, because sometimes we husbands, we get so focused on the outcome because we're outcome. You know, that's what causes us to tick. We're looking at the outcome, and sometimes, you know, we just get going like a house of fire and we're just going down the road. And sometimes we forget to look at things in the right perspective. And so a godly woman can make a real difference in the life of the man of God. A godly woman can, who has spiritual discernment can make a real difference in the life of a family. Because it is that individual who helps to bring another perspective to the marital relationship, who can sometimes get the husband to see certain things that he might be overlooking because he's so focused on the physical. He is so focused on the outcome that, you know, he's just, you know, not seeing things that she is seeing. And so here we have a woman that has generosity, and she also has spiritual discernment. So very important in the life of a married couple. And she certainly has it. And so we thank God for it. We thank God for different examples in our life of people that we can look to who had spiritual discernment. I'm sure if you think about it, you can think about people in your own life. My life, my mom, my wife. These are individuals who have great spiritual discernment. There's a third thing that this woman possessed that makes her great. I see it in the scripture here. This woman has a great love for her child. This woman has a great love for her child. Now, when she meets the man of God, she is childless. She does not have a child. She does not have a son. In the life of a Jewish couple, there's nothing any more important than having a male child. And the reason for that is because from this lineage might possibly come the Messiah, the Son of God. And so a Jewish woman wants to give her husband a man child. Problem is, this man is very old. We're not told the age of the wife, but we are told that he is old. And the perception might be that he's beyond the point where he could ever be used of God to bring forth a son. But our God can work miracles. Our God can do the impossible. And the reality is, the man of God is so impressed with the generosity of this woman that on one of the occasions when he comes to stay at the house, and we see it here in the fourth chapter, one of the times when he comes, it says, verse number 11, and it fell on a day that he came thither and turned into the chamber, and he lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shulamite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. So the man of God is so impressed with the generosity of this woman that he wants to do something for her. Now, occasionally, I like to go deep into the Word of God and really get down there and get a nugget, and here it is. This woman provided for the man of God a place to rest, a bed to sleep upon, and food to eat. Associate, are you listening? He must have slept on the floor. Come on, that's funny. That's funny. So, Ryan, if we travel, I sleep in the heavenly bed, you sleep on the floor. That's scriptural, my friend. That's the Word of God. I told you, we need to have fun in the house of God. God loves us. God cares about us. And sometimes we need to look on the lighter side. And so here we see it in the Word of God. He is so impressed by the generosity of this woman that he tells his servant Gehazi, and maybe there was a language barrier. Maybe she was a deaf woman. I don't know. The Scripture doesn't tell us. But for some reason, he does not communicate face-to-face with her. He speaks through Gehazi, his assistant. So he says, call the Shulamite woman. Have her to come. Inquire of her what it is that she would like to have. Now, Elisha has influence with the king. Elisha has influence with the local political figures of the day. And so he communicates to her, you just tell me what it is that you want, and I'll make sure that it happens. Because he is, out of gratitude, he wants to do something for this woman. Now, I want you to see this for just a moment. This woman does not have an agenda. This woman does not expect something in return. In fact, she says, thank you very much, I dwell with my own people. This is a content woman. A content woman. And she asks for nothing. Now, Elisha calls her back and he says, I want you to know that a year from now, within a year, at the right time, you're going to bear a child. And she says, oh, don't make fun of me, man of God. Please don't make fun of me. She is very sensitive about this subject because she cannot have a child. She cannot produce a male son or a son for her husband. And so she almost takes offense to this statement. But the reality is, a year later, according to the time of life, she has a son. She loves that boy so much. She raises him in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. She raises him to love the Lord and to serve the Lord. And then all of a sudden, there's a day that the dad is working out in the field along with the workers of his business. And they're busy working, and it's probably a very hot day. And this little boy is out there. He's probably maybe 5 or 6 years of old. And you know what? Little 5 or 6 year old doesn't want to be with dad and be out there in the field and watching what is going on. And all of a sudden, he cries out to his father and he says, my head, my head. And so maybe it's a sunstroke or something of that nature. And the father says to one of one of his workers, he says, take the boy to his mother. So the servant takes the boy to the mother, goes there. He's on his mother's lap until about noontime. And all of a sudden, the boy stops breathing. He is gone. Oh, what a heartache this must have meant in the life of this dear woman. She has served the Lord. She has been generous. She had no expectation that anything was going to happen. God gives her a child, and now he's dead. And so she determines that she's going to go to the man of God. She's going to ask him to do something that, you know, that is unusual, something that is completely different. She loves this child, and so she goes to her husband. She gets a servant to go with her. She gets one of the donkeys, and they take off towards Mount Carmel. And Elisha is up there in ministry, and he looks afar off, and he sees the Shulamite woman, and he makes mention to Gehazi, the associate, the assistant. He says to him, "It is the Shulamite woman. Go ask her the question. First question is everything okay with you? Is everything okay with your husband? Is everything okay with your child?" So here goes Gehazi. He goes off. He meets her, and she just kind of brushes by him. She wants to talk to the man of God, and she gets over there, and she just embraces. She just falls down at his feet, and she embraces him, and she is crying, and she is insisting that the man of God do something. And so the man of God sends Gehazi with his staff, with Elisha's staff, and to lay it on the face of the child, and this should revive the child, because this is a symbol of authority. So Gehazi does that. He takes it over. He lays it on the face of the child. Nothing. Nothing happens. So in the meantime, the mother says, "I'm not going to leave your side. I will not leave your side until my prayer is answered." She has a great love for her child. How many mothers have spent the night praying for a child with a fever, praying for a child maybe who is wayward, who's out on the town, and we don't know where the child is? It is usually the mother who can't sleep. It is usually the mother who is pacing the floor. It is usually the mother who's paying the price, because she brought those children into this world. She is overwhelmed by what has happened, and she wants an answer from the man of God. She wants an answer from God Almighty. Let me ask you a question. When you pray, do you want God to answer your prayers? That is this woman. This is her heart. She is a woman of generosity. She is a woman of spiritual discernment. And she is also a woman who loves her child, and she is not going to take no for an answer. So finally, Elisha gets there. It takes them longer to get there because it takes two people longer to travel, especially if you're traveling with a woman. Come on, that's funny. Takes them longer to get there, and here they come. The child has not revived, and Elisha lays on the child, and he puts his nose next to the nose of the child, and he breathes on that child. He's doing everything he can to try to revive that little boy, and nothing is happening. So then he's pacing back and forth, and he's praying. And then so he tries it again. And this little child sneezes 7 times, and all of a sudden he's awake. And Elisha calls for the mother to come. So this is a woman of generosity. This is a woman of spiritual discernment. This is a woman who loves her child beyond anything that she could ever love. And big hunk, let me give you some advice. You better listen to me. That wife of yours has a love for that child that she will never have for you. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing what I'm saying? She has a love for that child that she will never have for you, because she brought that child into the world. God has designed it that way. So don't expect her to love you in the same way that she loves that child, because it is not going to happen. You had a mother. Deal with it. Deal with it. There's a fourth thing. Not only did this woman have generosity, not only did she have spiritual discernment, not only did she have an undying love for her child, but she also had faith. And you see, that's the crux of the whole thing. This woman was a woman of faith. The Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please God. We cannot please God without faith. And the reality is that works is the proof of our faith. Now, understand this morning, works will not get you to heaven. We understand that clearly from Scripture. Our works is as filthy rags in the sight of Almighty God. We get that. We understand that. We are not going to work our way to heaven. But James said in the New Testament, faith without works is what? Dead. True salvation, true faith is going to manifest itself in works. And so as we look at this woman, we see the evidence of her faith. Here comes this man of God traipsing through town. She invites him for a meal. The next thing you know, here he comes, you know, every 3 months, every 2 months, whatever it is, you know, he's coming through town. She provides a meal. Then she comes up with this idea, this spiritual discernment. Why don't we just build a chamber? Why don't we just build a place so that this man of God can be comfortable when he comes through town? Because he is the man of God. Remember what she said? She perceived that this was an holy man of God. Didn't say she liked him. Said he was a man of God. Said that he was God's man. And so her faith, her actions proves her commitment. She is generous. She has spiritual discernment. She loves her child. And she demonstrates it through her faith over and over and over and over again. And the reality is, any rewards that we have in heaven are going to exist because we, by faith, believed God, surrendered to God, served God, did His bidding. Who do you think it was placed the idea in her heart to build the chamber? It was Almighty God. Now, her faith demonstrated to the Jewish people, first of all, it demonstrated a miraculous God who could do anything, who could give her a child when her husband was old, could do the miraculous, a miraculous birth. Does that remind you of anybody in the Scripture who had a miraculous birth? The Lord Jesus. Not only was she a testimony to her people that God was alive and God was real, not only did they see the miraculous in His birth, but they saw a resurrected boy. Come on. A resurrected son. Is there another example in the Scripture of a son who was resurrected? What a wonderful testimony this woman is to her people. Her faith is a wonderful testimony. Now understand, at the time that she lived in, the Jewish people were worshiping false gods. They were worshiping the god of Baal. They were worshiping all manner of false gods. That's sad. That's tragic. But it's no less tragic than today. Today we're just a little more subtle than they were in that day. How many of us let other things get in the way of us serving the Lord God? The God who has done the miraculous, who has given us a son, Jesus Christ, miraculously, through a virgin birth. No other birth could ever equal the birth of Jesus Christ. And then he died for my sins and for yours. But the grave couldn't hold him. And 3 days later, he came forth triumphantly from the grave. Oh, what a testimony we have. Nobody else in the world has the testimony that the child of God has. Faith. Faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, not Muhammad, Jesus, him, Jesus Christ, no other, no counterfeit, no angel, no high priest, but Jesus Christ, who's greater than all, the Son of God. Oh, what a testimony, a miraculous birth, a miraculous resurrection. This woman had faith. Oh, ladies, that you could be ladies of faith, demonstrating your love for your God through your generosity, through your spiritual perception of serving the Lord. Oh, God, help us today to be like this great woman. This great woman. Was she wealthy? Yes. But these other qualities were far more valuable than her wealth. Because the reality is, it does not matter if you're wealthy or if you're the widow in Zarephath. God will make a way. Because he loves us, he cares about us. Oh, that we might be men and women of God. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would please, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, as we think, as we close this service today. Oh God, am I that servant? Am I that servant that can be called great? First of all, because of my generosity. And next, because of my spiritual discernment. And thirdly, because of my love for my children. And fourthly, because of my faith. Do I demonstrate it on a daily basis that I believe the Word of God? Heavenly Father, help us today. Give us spiritual discernment. I pray the Holy Spirit would move up and down the aisles today. If there's anybody within the sound of my voice who does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, dear God, that that person would come to know Jesus in his fullness today. Lord, help us. Help us to do the things that are honoring and glorifying to you. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to the hearts and lives of men and women, boys and girls within the sound of my voice today. Dear God, that they might be called the great woman, the great man, the great child, because we possess the things that bring honor and glory to your Son. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. If the Spirit